From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Kavitha George with a local and statewide news update. Six candidates are seeking three Juneau area seats in the Alaska legislature. Here's today's question of the day. Last week, we saw the Alaska legislature consider but ultimately not advance something that's called a red flag law that allows courts to confiscate the firearms of people considered an imminent danger to themselves or others. Do you support that kind of legislation, or do you believe some other efforts should be made to address Alaska's rate of gun violence and gun death? Here's how they answered at an October 9th forum we hosted with the Juneau Empire and League of Women Voters of Juneau.
I'm Don Etheridge, running as an independent for Senate seat Q.
I think we definitely need to look at it. I think that if somebody has a mental issue, we definitely have to oversee that before we give them weapons. And I'm very disappointed in our state as far as for caring for the mental health of our residents. People are just crying to get help for the mentally ill. And I think that's where we need to be concentrating on, is getting help for a lot of these folks. And I don't think that we'll have a gun violence if we can do that.
My name is Andy Story, and I'm running for State House in District 34.
This is a question of our time, how critically important to keep our children safe, our families safe. The bill that had the hearing, I know some of the concerns brought up were that people who have a mental health issue may not seek help if they thought they were going to not be able to keep their guns. And I know we want to protect Second Amendment rights in the state of Alaska, but we have to also balance how do we address our mental health needs. And so that's really important. Also, what's important is counselors in school, red flag alerts when you see a child showing some signs of trauma.
Thank you, Andy.
This is Jerry Nan Curvis, candidate for House District 34.
Mental health diagnosis is very important, and it's often not done in all cases where it should be. I do not support a red flag thing, and I don't support it because my experience at the police department, I dealt with that. I had the ability to take weapons away from people that were in a position where they might harm somebody else, and for public safety reasons, there is that ability already in place, and it's being utilized throughout the state, and it has been for many years. That's why I don't support the red flag.
I'm Sarah Hannon, and I'm running for House District 33.
I absolutely would support a bill like House Bill 75 by Representative Tarr last year, the so-called red flag bill, that would institute and give families the opportunity to go before an impartial judge and demonstrate that a family member was suffering from a crisis that made guns in the house a danger to them. We are a state that leads in suicide, and of course the ugly statistics are our males commit suicide at a higher rate, and it's correlated to our gun ownership. And we have young men who commit suicide in an impulsive act, and having families have a tool that does not permanently remove but gives them the opportunity to stop an impulsive behavior is important, and I think we should do it.
My name is Chris Diamond, and I'm running as an independent candidate to represent all of the residents of District 33.
Yeah, I would be supportive of that. I think being a gun owner, there is a responsibility that comes with that ownership. Keeping your guns locked up, making sure that people don't have access to them. And that would include if you're having a mental health crisis or if you're feeling suicidal and your family sees that need or your friends or your spouse, I think there should be a mechanism in there to remove that threat. We do. We have the highest rates of suicide and domestic violence and spouses killing, men killing their wives in the whole country. We're number one. And that is not a good number. I think that we should have a mechanism where you can temporarily have that danger removed from your house to prevent any further harm.
I'm Jesse Keel. I'm running for the Alaska State Senate in Senate District Q.
So I would support a red flag law if it's well written, if it's carefully written. We've heard others say Alaska leads the nation in suicide. We lead the nation in men killing women, and too often women they live with. So there's no question rights matter. I'm a civil libertarian. There are 10 important provisions in the bill, or clauses in the Bill of Rights, not just 9, not fewer than that. So due process is important. But we have an example to look to in Alaska. And under Title 47, you can actually take someone's freedom if they're an immediate threat to the life of themselves or others. Certainly taking a firearm temporarily is a somewhat lower standard than that. So it's going to take a judge. It's going to take more than just an accusation. But I think there are situations, short of taking somebody into custody, where we can protect public safety and rights at the same time.
Alaskans will soon cast votes on Ballot Measure 1, the controversial initiative aimed at protecting Alaska's salmon habitat. Companies behind big proposed mines and oil developments have helped raise millions to campaign against the initiative. Opponents say Ballot Measure 1 could hinder projects like road improvements, but supporters say it was specifically designed to allow vital infrastructure to be built. So how will the ballot measure affect mid-sized projects used by everyday Alaskans? As Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, the answer isn't clear-cut.
Part of the uncertainty on how the Salmon Habitat Initiative could affect things like small-scale hydro projects or mom-and-pop placer mines hinges on a single phrase in the ballot measure, significant adverse effects. That's because if it passes, projects that could cause significant adverse effects to salmon habitat will go through a much tougher and more public vetting process to get what's called a major permit. So what counts as a significant adverse effect on salmon? And where's the line between a major permit and a minor permit?
We have not made an actual determination about that yet.
That's Ron Bankert, a regional supervisor with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the agency that would carry out the ballot measure. Bankert says the measure does lay out some clear definitions, like if a project blocks fish from passing through, that's significant. Other criteria on what counts as significant are less clear, he says.
Some of them are kind of difficult to define, and it would probably require us to develop some additional regulations to further clarify that.
So if the measure passes, that's not the end of the story. Although it will go into effect 90 days after the election results are final, the state will probably end up writing regulations. And those regulations would try to nail down the distinction between projects in salmon habitat that have to clear a higher bar and projects that won't. Eric Felstead is an attorney with Perkins Coie, a firm that has worked for companies opposing the ballot measure and the campaign against it. Felstead says if the salmon habitat measure passes, Fish and Game will be under intense scrutiny as it goes about figuring out what counts as significant adverse effects on fish habitat.
You know, I've been involved in a lot of rulemakings over the years. This one's going to be as hard as anything I've ever seen just because there's so much interest in it.
Little projects like boat ramps, the state can probably safely put projects like that under the minor category. And a big proposed mine that will displace salmon streams? That'll definitely go through the tougher permitting process. But Felstead says there's some gray area in the middle, and he thinks that will be tricky for Fish and Game to navigate.
You know, you have, say, a road that's 75 yards long with a gravel pad where you want to build a cabin, and it's through kind of a swampy area that is deemed to be anadromous fish habitat. You know, is that going to be under the minor scheme? I think those are the questions that are harder, that are kind of right on the line.
Emily Anderson, an attorney with the Wild Salmon Center who helped write the initiative, pushed back on opponents who say needed infrastructure projects will be hindered by the ballot measure. She says she trusts Fish and Game to not write overly burdensome regulations.
It's really, really premature to say you'll never be able to do this or expand your airport in X, Y, and Z community. That's ridiculous to say that at this point.
Anderson acknowledges it's hard to pinpoint exactly what projects will get a minor permit and what projects will go through the tougher vetting process. But she adds it's not about how big or small a project is or what kind of project it is. The measure was written so it's all about how much it affects salmon habitat.
You can have a very large project that has very little impact to fish habitat and therefore can be processed as a minor permit. You can have a very small project that the way it's being proposed can have very high impacts to fish habitat and that may be proposed as a major project.
So a project's size may not be the best indicator of how much it could be impacted by Ballot Measure 1. And even then, when it comes to how the initiative could impact some projects used by everyday Alaskans, a lot rides on how the state writes the regulations to implement it.
That was Elizabeth Harbaugh reporting.